Hello, I'm Kristen McDonald, and welcome to Second Vision. Today's topic is coping with challenge and change, something that we can all relate to. And I have an expert in this area. She's had to overcome much adversity in her life. Her name is Artis Bazin. She heads up Bazin Communications. She's an accomplished author, inspirational speaker, and coach. And she's here to share some of her success secrets in this area. How are you, Artis?
Oh, I'm doing fine. Thank you, Kristen.
You're in Iowa today, right?
Yes, I am. I'm at my sister's house.
Oh, that's wonderful. I appreciate you taking the time to do this interview while you're traveling. What's the weather like there?
Cool, but nice. Mid-60s during the day, and then at night about 40.
Oh, fall. You know, I tend to forget what that's like being in California, but I really loved fall. I grew up back east. Now, Artis, you had something happen to you when you were age 20 that changed your life, and why don't you share that with the viewers?
Yeah,
the listeners, rather.
Sure. I was living in Sioux Falls, South Dakota at the time, and went out with a friend to go to a rodeo, and we were involved in a car accident on a strange gravel road, hit a dead end because there was no sign before the hill, and I found out when I woke up in the hospital that I would not be able to see again.
Oh, my goodness. And I know you told me earlier on the phone this week that you were in a coma.
Correct. I was in a coma for 4 days. And when I woke up, of course, the first thing I asked was, would I be able to see? And they told me, oh, let's wait a few days. We're not sure. We'll have to wait till the swelling goes down.
They didn't want to tell you the news?
Evidently not, because my parents and family told me later that they were telling all the visitors, don't say a word about it, don't say a word about it. We don't want her to know yet.
Now, here you were fully sighted and only age 20 with, you know, the world is your oyster at age 20, as they say. I mean, what was that like to go through that transition and talk about coping with challenge and change? That's huge.
Actually, for me, it seemed like it went pretty smoothly. I think it was because I was so concerned about my family. My youngest sister had been killed in a car accident 6 months before mine.
Oh, my goodness.
And I knew my parents were just really, really upset about it.
How can one family withstand so much? You know, I mean, to suffer that loss, I know you also had told me when we first met that that incident helped to keep you positive.
Definitely, because I think, you know, when you're concerned about other people, mm-hmm. then you're not thinking as much about yourself. And I was so concerned about them, and I just figured, oh, I can handle this. I can learn this. I can try this. And immediately I was trying to do things on my own in the hospital, trying to find the bathroom and trying to find my clothes and looking for things, et cetera.
Now, you never freaked out? I mean, what about depression, loss, grief? It sounds like you skipped over those stages.
I think for the most part I did. I mean, obviously I had times I got upset. I mean, the first time I tried to make a long-distance phone call, I got upset because I couldn't write down the number information had given me because, of course, I hadn't learned Braille yet.
Sure.
And I had to remember it along with my number that I had to call for my credit card number. And I tried three times before I finally remembered them all and got it through. And that made me really upset. But I just told myself, hey, I'm going to learn Braille. I'll be okay.
But, you know, you were living in a totally different world, living in the blind world, in a sense. I mean, you know, having lost all your sight and having come from a sighted world.
I
imagine that would have been very difficult. Like, I've interviewed a number of people in this area, and people have lost their sight overnight. People are losing it slowly. And, you know, also people who have been born blind. And one in particular, whom I interviewed recently, said that it was so much easier to be born blind than to lose your sight. You know, and in your case, you lost it, bam, overnight. And nothing has stopped you. You've accomplished so much.
I think one thing that helped me, of course, is my strong faith in God.
Right.
And I have a very, very supportive family. I mean, we're all together. You know, if we have a problem, we can call each other and complain about it and send emails back and forth asking for support and so forth. And I think that really is key. Plus, I've learned that it's really helpful if you have a good network.
A support system.
Lot of organizations I become a part of.
I know. Now tell us, you know, you have so many, I couldn't possibly enumerate all of your awards and positions. Can you tell us and share with the audience a few of the things that you do?
Okay, I'm real involved with the American Council of the Blind.
Right.
I'm a past board member and officer of the American Council. I currently serve as the ACB membership chairperson, in which I work with different affiliates to build their membership and do a lot of writing projects for them and also do some speaking.
Great. I noticed you have your master's in writing, right, or in
teaching? In arts and teaching.
Right, right. And two BAs in writing and communications, public relations.
Right, correct.
Yeah,
correct.
Excellent. I mean, what? My hat's off to you to go to school like that and learn Braille and do all of that, you know. Why don't we start, you know, because I mentioned coping with challenge and change, why don't we start off a few minutes by giving some of the listeners some active tips that they can use in this area, because obviously now they know what you've overcome in your life. What are some suggestions that you have for people to overcome obstacles of any sort? Doesn't have to be a disability or sight, but just in life. Life is tough.
I think one of the keys is benefiting from the support of family and friends.
Right.
A lot of people, they want to keep things inside, bottled up, and they don't share what's upsetting them. And it's real important to be able to share it with family and friends and have listen to their ideas, and it can help you think more firmly. Even if they don't give you an idea, just the act of sharing it with them makes you think of things on your own.
Right. And, you know, it really is about team effort because, you know, it's nice to be there for someone else and have someone that you know you can call when you're not always feeling on top of the world. The truth is you can't always stay at that level all day long. You sometimes have to have a 5-minute pity party.
That's right. That's right.
So,
and the other thing, of course, is when you're networking with people in various organizations for the visually impaired, you have a lot of other people that you know that have probably undergone similar situations. And if you have a technology problem or if you want to do something that you haven't done before, there's people to ask. And you can say, hey, how can I do this? How can
you
do that?
That's a very good point. That has really helped me because I've started to surround myself. I have retinitis pigmentosa, as I've mentioned many times on the show. And I had full sight and started to lose part of my sight and have now lost a significant amount. And surrounding myself and meeting other people like yourself who have inspired me. You know, I mean, you went totally blind. I still have part of my sight, but people like yourself inspire me. And when I see someone doing the kinds of things that you're doing, I say when I wake up in the morning, I can do that too.
That's right. That's right. And I think that's key. You know, we inspire each other.
Yes.
You know, and we see other people do different things. In fact, it was a blind person that inspired me to go back to college. I had thought, oh, I don't know if I want to do that, being blind.
Yeah.
And I heard about other people getting doctorates, you know, and I thought, mm-hmm. Well, hey, if they can do it, I can do it.
I know the only problem is when you meet all these people and they have so many degrees and accomplishments, then you think, well, boy, I don't know if I've accomplished enough. So what are some other tips? Those are two good ones.
Another thing that really helps me is I set goals.
Mm-hmm.
And priorities.
Oh, absolutely. That's a very big one.
And I make a list, and I keep it close where I can remind myself of it. And then when I list a list of to-dos or tasks or whatever, then I can cross them off as I get along, and then pretty soon I've made that goal, and then I've mm-hmm. made that goal. And then looking back on what you have accomplished and congratulating yourself for what you have gotten done, then it motivates you more to make more goals for the next time around.
And not getting overwhelmed. Sometimes I make my to-do list so long. You know, I'm an Aries. I like to get up and conquer the world every day. And then I have to realize it's better to do it in small stages.
That's right.
You know, so
right.
You know they're attainable goals.
That's right.
Yeah.
And that's what I try to encourage people. Plus, I also encourage people not to give up if they didn't meet their timeline. If
yes.
they said they wanted this done in 6 months, and they're not even halfway there, hey, just make a new timeline.
You revise it, exactly.
Right, you don't just give up.
Exactly. Now, the other thing I noticed on your website, and some of your testimonials say that you always mix humor when you go to speak in front of a group, and I love that because, you know, I have a great sense of humor myself, but can you share some stories or incidents that have kept you laughing and looking at the fun side of life?
Certainly. One of the first things that I remember, when I lost my sight, my brother was 6. And when I first went home and I'd be clearing the table for my mom, I'd always get my fingers in the butter. And for Christmas, we have a tendency to get each other gag gifts in my family.
Right.
Like sometimes we got my car a little car model, my father a car model because he wanted a new Corvette.
Uh-huh.
Well, I got this package, and of course we always wrap things in all kinds of containers. So I didn't think anything of it when I opened this container. It was about the size of a margarine container, and I just figured somebody had put something inside. Reached in it, and it was butter.
Oh, God. That's a riot.
And, of course, he just thought that was just hilarious.
And that was your gag gift? Oh, my God. That's so funny. That's great.
Well, then I remember I've made a few food mistakes. One time my...
Oh, you worked in the food service business. That's right.
Yes, I did. Well, this one was actually I did at home. I was making a tuna casserole. And my husband had happened to buy groceries one week, and he bought a 6-ounce can of pineapple. And I made tuna casserole, and instead of tuna, I put in pineapple.
Oh, gosh.
And one of my daughters comes to me, Mom, what is that?
This tastes
got
a little
yellow
strange.
Stuff in it.
Now, yesterday I asked you what it was like to raise two children after having lost your sight. That must have been, that's a huge endeavor.
Actually, I think my mom was more worried about it than I was.
I really give you credit. I mean, you told me that sometimes they used to hide from you. I mean, the worrisome thing is that when a kid turns age 2 or 3, they start running around and they play with things and, you know, it can be dangerous. And weren't you ever scared of that?
Well, I always tried to keep dangerous things out of their reach. Like I have a lot of knickknacks. Well, I put them in a hutch, so and the hutch was not easy to open. They would have had to pull, you know, pretty hard.
Right.
The only time they ever got into stuff was in the kitchen cabinets. Sometimes they could open those. So we put child locks on all the bottom ones, which would be the ones they'd be more
apt to get in. But how could you find them? Just by sound? They'd run around the house and...
Oh, yeah, I could hear them. In fact, they'd try to hide from me sometimes. And I would just stand real still, and they would get impatient a lot quicker than I would. And
right.
then I'd hear them move or giggle or...
Oh, that's so cute. And now they're both in their 20s?
Yes, they're both in their 20s, mm-hmm. and they're both married. My oldest got married last year. My other daughter's been married for a number of years. In fact, I have a 7-year-old granddaughter.
Oh, good for you.
Don't like to admit it, but...
No, we won't tell anyone. Don't worry. No one heard that. Now, let me ask you something. When you're saying you used to hide things in the hutch, were you very organized before you lost your sight? You must be organized now
so.
To accomplish what you did.
I think I was fairly organized. Mm-hmm. I like to put things in its own place, although there's times when I leave things about, and I have a very good memory, so I always remember where I put things. Well, I shouldn't say that. It's getting worse. I'm not quite as good at remembering as what I used to be. But
it's a tip that I offer people, you know, because one of the things that happened to me when I was visually impaired is I had to become hyper-organized.
Mm-hmm.
And my brother will come visit now and say, gee, you know, Tin, that's my nickname from Kristen, and he'll say, you, Tin, you're never this organized before. You know, like, I know where my keys are, and I know where my shoes are, and everything's hanging in a certain place, and you know, it really is helpful to kind of purge, get rid of things, and make sure that you know where things are.
Oh, definitely. And I
mean, even if you're sighted, but if you're visually impaired, it's just necessary.
Oh, definitely. Like when I put away groceries, I put them in a certain order. And when I put clothes together, I tend to hang my skirts with the matching top versus before, you know, I never worried about that.
Mm-hmm. No, so obviously it really does help.
Mm-hmm,
you don't want to wear those two different colored shoes, which I've done before. Or the makeup. You want to make sure you mark your makeup. People are always saying, how do you do your makeup, Kristen? And I said, well, it's very methodical. Now, tell us about some of your books. You're very involved with your church.
Building Blocks to Success.
To Success.
The series I wrote. Mm-hmm. And the different topics under that were, does the image of your church attract members? Does the image of your organization attract members? And does the image of your business attract customers and motivate employees?
Now, that's excellent. And you don't have a business degree. It was mostly in communications, right? But you really delved into this area.
Well, I've had my own business ever since I went through food service management training when
right.
I was 20.
Mm-hmm.
And ever since, I've always had my own business. So, therefore, most of that is experience.
Of course.
And what I learned in training and as I learned on my own, I'm one of these lifetime learners. I'm always reading. I'm always learning mm-hmm. how to do things differently in the best way.
That's terrific.
Plus, I interviewed a lot of other business owners to find out how they did different things.
Right.
And I used a lot of those examples in my book.
So
same with the other
two.
I interviewed the different types of organizations.
Right.
And
share
got a lot
some
of tips.
The things about image building for your church, for example.
Well, I had a questionnaire in there called Attitude Questionnaire, mm-hmm. and I asked several questions about, do you talk to newcomers when they come?
Mm-hmm.
Do you talk to all people the same, or do you ignore the elderly people? Do you ignore people that are of a different nationality than you are? And so I had a whole list of questions that they could ask themselves.
Right.
And to how they, you know, are open to other people. I also addressed a lot of issues on accessibility, like when do you have meetings? Do you have steps people have to walk up to?
Mm-hmm.
Do you have a bathroom close enough for people who might have problems where they have to use it more often? Do you have large print or braille programs and books that people can use? Is your website accessible? Is your newsletter accessible? Do you offer it in cassette tape as well as in print, et cetera? So I have a lot of different areas I cover.
That's great. So you've become you're obviously a real advocate in this area.
Right, right.
Now, your most recent book was?
My last book was actually a personal one.
Is that an autobiography?
Actually, it's a recipe book of my family. It's called My Family's Favorites, and it's recipes from 50 years plus. But I also put some personal anecdotes about particular dishes, like different times of the year we eat different things, like Christmas or Thanksgiving, and like when we get together in the summer, and I just talk about some of those things. But I also cover a lot of healthy hints. I tell how I cut down on the sugar and add different kinds of, instead of oil, I use applesauce, et cetera. I put some of those tips in there.
Great. What's the name of this book?
And it's just called My Family's Favorite.
Oh, that's right. And I want to give your website, too, throughout the program. It's www.bazincommunications.com?
That's correct.
Right.
They can also get it through my name, mm-hmm. artistbazin.com.
Mm-hmm. And how are the books doing?
The books are doing pretty well. I've sold, no bestseller, type things, but I've sold.
Not yet. You've done everything else, artist. I know you have it in you.
I've sold a few hundred, and that's good. And I also offer them in all formats. I offer them in cassette tape, on audio CD, print, as well as I also offer them in BRF files, so people can download them in Braille on a note taker.
Great, terrific.
And so that way, it's offered a variety of ways. That way, anybody who can't read regular print, they have another way of getting access to it.
Oh, I'll have to look into that. I like to cook myself. Now, let's talk a little bit about I know you're an inspirational speaker, but, our first topic, coping with challenge and change, let's go a little deeper in this. I mean, what about the fear, that someone has when they go through a traumatic incident or any huge life-changing event? And as I said, it's not just it doesn't have to be a disability. How did you combat the fear in your life? Fear seems to be one of the biggest obstacles for people.
Well, every time I have a period where I'm fearful about, I'm not doing things well enough, I could do this, I could do that, I right away focus on something else.
Mm-hmm.
I visualize myself doing better, getting a better sense of how to do things in a better way that'll help me be more successful, or visualize a different schematic, or sometimes I just get myself to reading something that's positive, reading something that's going to motivate me to just go past that time period in my life.
I do that very much myself. And also the visualization, I'm glad you brought that up, because it's a big part of my life, and I used to use a vision board, when I could see better. And now I try to, I make lists of things and affirmations and that sort of thing, and I do try to meditate. I should do it longer each day. But the visualization and listening to things like affirmations are very, very important.
Definitely.
They really do work.
Definitely.
And so do you meditate each day for 5 minutes or?
Yes, I do. And sometimes I do it right before I go to bed.
Uh-huh.
Because then it kind of gets more in your subconscious.
Uh-huh.
And supposedly that's supposed to help
yes.
you the next morning, then you're right away more positive.
That's true. I've done that too. I've even put affirmations into a tape recorder, you know, and my sister laughs, says it's like Stuart Smalley on Saturday Night Live, you know. I love myself. You know, everything will be fine. And did you ever see that guy on Saturday Night Live?
I've seen some of them, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't watch it a lot. But,
there are really some brilliant people on that show.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah,
definitely.
Especially as of late with Tina Fey. She's
the
brilliant.
Oh, the humorous, yeah.
Oh, my God. Comedic. I can't even see her well anymore, but I know I can barely tell the difference between she and Sarah Palin.
Oh, definitely.
It's
definitely.
Very funny, you know.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah. So tell me, you're out on the circuit as a motivational speaker.
That's correct.
And a coach. And what kind of places do you go and speak to? You go to corporations?
I go to corporations. I go to small business groups, employees groups. I talk to a lot of organizations. I probably talk to organizations more than anything else, like nonprofit membership type organizations.
Mm-hmm.
And then I also talk to church groups, Christian women's groups. I've talked to agencies, state agencies, federal agencies. I've done some speaking for Social Security Administration.
Good
and,
for you. So now, is most of this, and this is a part of your given career, right? And some of it is volunteer, and some of it is what
right.
you do
some
as
Right, some of it's volunteer,
right.
some I get
to the nonprofits,
paid a
right.
stipend, and then some of them I get paid a regular fee.
Right.
It kind of
right.
depends on
where you
know, you're which
going, like if it's a large
right.
corporation. And
that's right.
Yeah, that's
right.
terrific.
And then I do free ones. I went and talked to a bunch of different classes at a school on Monday, and of
mm-hmm.
course that's all, you know, volunteer.
Give us an example of like a coaching session.
Okay, I do coaching on several topics, but the one I do the most is on marketing tips.
Mm-hmm.
I talk to small business owners, telling them how they can do marketing, especially the kind that they can do for free, such as writing articles for appropriate newsletters. They could send out press releases. They could get onto different kinds of internet services like LinkedIn.com or
right.
some of the local.com, which has information you put about local businesses.
Now, stop right there if you don't mind. LinkedIn and Facebook, I've had many conversations with people at seminars and whatnot about this. It's very difficult for a visually impaired person to hook up on Facebook, LinkedIn, all of those websites.
LinkedIn is real easy.
LinkedIn is easy for a visually impaired person?
Yeah, LinkedIn is very good. I've not had any problem with, well, I shouldn't say not had any problem. I mean, there's certain things you have to look for a little bit, and I've had to sometimes go out and go back into it
uh-huh.
because sometimes I can't find what I'm looking for. But Facebook, I've never tried, but I've heard that you have to use one of those captchas to get onto Facebook. And some of the captchas are not as blind friendly. Some of them have a number you can call for a captcha, and some of them have a speech captcha, but it's a weird, awkward listening language to listen to. And they'll
right.
C-A-T, you know, it's just weird.
Oh, yes, yes.
And so it's hard to catch the letters.
Yes.
And some of them are kind of bad that way, but you don't have to do that with LinkedIn.
Okay, I'll have to check it out again. I don't think I ever got past the sign-in part. I thought most of these web pages were pretty visually oriented. But with JAWS, you can get through LinkedIn.
Yes, I have. And maybe it's because I generally don't go into LinkedIn, just going into LinkedIn.com. I've gone through emails, like somebody will send me an invitation to hook up with them on LinkedIn.
Right.
And then I've gone through that to get on. And maybe that bypasses something. I don't know. I should go in the regular way sometime and find out if it's harder to go in that way. I've always just gone in from an email, so maybe that makes the difference. Maybe I should send you an email from it.
Yes, that may solve the whole problem. You know, I had told someone at a seminar, the speaker services that we've both been familiar with, you know, I stood up and asked everyone when they do their websites to please be compatible for visually impaired people, because I've had so much difficulty in this area, and I wanted to come up with a site called, you know, ICan'tSeeYourFacebook.com.
And I've not gotten into a lot of them, but I've one I've used a few times is ValleyNews.com.
Mm-hmm.
You can upload articles that you write up on there, and you just sign in and get a username and so forth, and you can upload articles to whatever area you want to upload them to, and I have found that really easy to use.
Right.
So some of them are very good, but like you said, some of them are a little more awkward. I tried Facebook real quickly and couldn't get into it, and I just said, forget it, because if I can't get into something quickly and access it and check it out, then I just assume not use it because it's too time-consuming on the Internet.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, it really can become an addiction and a full-time job.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's very helpful in some areas, but there's so much out there.
Right.
That you could be a website junkie.
Right.
You know,
and that's why
there's so much information to learn, and it's fun, but it's kind of scary. You know, the amount of time it takes.
And that's why I just pick and choose. You know, I go on them. If they're not very good, well, then I just forget it.
Yeah. No, me too. Now, tell me. Let me ask you something. Do you use a cane or a dog?
I use a white cane.
Mm-hmm.
I was told when I lost my sight that I could try to use a dog, but I've just never wanted to. I have lots of friends that have guide dogs, and
yes,
they love them.
Mm-hmm.
And I've even used one of my friend's dogs. I've even used it a couple of times, and I could see why people like them, because you skirt around things versus having to hit them first with your cane.
Yes, head on.
But they take a lot of work, you know.
You have to bathe
them and feed them and take them out and pick up after them and make sure they don't chew on your clothes and shoes and stuff. And I guess I just don't want to deal with that. I could put my cane in a corner when I get home.
I know. Or go out to dinner and you fold it up and it's gone.
That's right.
There's no dog with you. I know. It's a real personal choice from what I understand.
Oh, definitely.
I'm not a dog user either myself. I've thought about it, but I kind of like the easiness of a cane. It's there and it's gone, you know?
Well, and if you walk a long ways to work and you don't have sidewalks and something you have to do, well, then I can understand why somebody would want it. But with as much as I travel and I go to strange places all the time, dogs wouldn't have a chance to learn the places.
Well, really, because I've spoken to some other speakers who have, you know, they swear by their dogs because they travel, and they travel with the dog. And so you find it easier. You go to, let's say you're hired by a place to speak. Is that what you're talking about when you travel?
Right, right.
So you go to an unfamiliar place. Are you alone, or do you travel with someone?
No, I travel by myself.
Mm-hmm.
But I am very vocal. If I can't find my way, I ask the first person I see, and I say, okay, where do I have to go to such and such? And people are generally pretty good. Granted, sometimes you have to talk to two or three people to go to different directions and so on. So you get different directions from different people, and you run into some people that can't speak English, and that can be a problem.
Right, but aren't you gutsy to just get on a plane and go anywhere and get out there and speak? I mean, really, it's really incredible what you do, and you're not afraid, and I'm sure they meet you on the other end and are very hospitable.
Right. Most times everybody is pretty good, and once in a while you end up with a glitch where somebody doesn't show up right away.
Yeah.
Your meeting assist doesn't show up, and you have to wait and almost miss your flight or something. But for the most part, it works out pretty good.
But even getting into an unfamiliar location like a hotel room and that sort of thing, it can be completely disoriented for someone who's visually impaired.
Right.
So, I mean, you must be very organized and very confident, obviously.
Well, I generally, especially if I have luggage, I generally have the bell cap show me the room the first time, and then from that point, then I'm okay. And sure, there's always some hotels that are more confusing. I remember going one that had just these squares, and you could, if you went the wrong way, you'd end up going around the square.
Oh, boy.
But you just have to keep reading the numbers until you find the right section, you know. So.
Well, I think that's great that you do that. And so what's your latest project now that you're working on?
I'm working on another book. This one I'm working on is about myself.
Good for you, an autobiography.
Right, right. And I think that should be of interest to most people. And then I'm also working on a booklet for on entrepreneurship.
Great. That's wonderful. Well, I think, you know, I also noticed that you give a free consultation on your website.
We should tell people that for business consultation.
Correct?
Definitely. Definitely. Because I like to find out where they're at and what they're doing and if my services would even be of benefit to them. I mean, if they already do all the things that I could help them with, well, then there's no point. Unless they want somebody to help them set goals and just to kind of reaffirm their goals and to, because sometimes if you have a person that you tell your goals to, you're much more likely to accomplish them than if you just do it yourself.
To be accountable to someone
right.
or something is really important. You know, I've found that I've started a number of support groups through my seminars and whatnot. It's very important to have other people listen to your goals and do the same for another person.
That's right. That's right. And I have one gentleman that comes about every 6 to 8 weeks to see me, and that's what he does. He makes a list of about 6 goals that he wants to do during the next 6-week period, and he said it really is invaluable to him. It's more than worth the money.
Oh, that's great. You know, I mean, all these things really add up to success if you follow them every day.
That's right.
That,
that's right.
And like you said, for your case in particular, you have a strong faith in God.
Definitely.
And I've noticed that's a common denominator with many people who have overcome adversity. You know, in some of the interviews that I've done. Well, Artis, I want to give your website again, www.bazincommunications.com. And I really appreciate you taking the time to do this interview. It's been most helpful.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it. It's been fun talking to you.
Yeah, I look forward to meeting you in person soon. And just wanted to tell you that we'll be able to access it at airsla.org, probably in the next 24 hours. And I just want to tell you that you are an inspiration to everyone.
Well, thank you very much.
Thank you, Artis. You have a blessed day.
Thank you.
This is Kristen McDonald, and you've been listening to Second Vision with Artis Bazin, who heads up Bazin Communications. Thank you for listening.